Tonight we're going to conclude our prayer meeting with just a few thoughts from God's Word. I suppose it's natural that working as leader of our missions advisory team, we've been working on our convention now for quite some time, and my heart in recent days has turned to a little review of how I wound up following the Lord halfway around the world. For a little guy from Arkansas that wore shoes most of the time, but not all the time, that was quite unexpected at one part in my life. And I just wanted to share real quickly how I got to where I got, because it's very appropriate for my topic this evening. I was a young teenage boy, and loving God with all of my heart, filled with all the enthusiasm I knew how to have, and not knowing what to do with it. And so I was very earnestly and seriously praying about God's will for my life. And there were two particular ways that God used to direct me in that path. One of them was the Word of God. And the Word of God never fails. I'm not sure that I used it in a way that I would recommend to all of you, but in my teenage ignorance, the Lord allowed me to do that and used it strongly to impact and direct my life. I had one of the old-fashioned red-letter editions of the Bible. It was King James at that time. And red letter, and this particular verse that I had found stood out on the page because it was about the only thing on that page that was red letter. I highlighted it in yellow, and I underlined it in blue, and I turned to it almost every time I went to the Lord in prayer, so the pages were smudged and bent and dirty and didn't fit quite right in the binding. Never a difficult problem finding John 20:21, and the Lord used that verse in my life over and over again as I would read, "As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." Those were the simple words that the Lord used at that point in my life. It was just the issue of resolving whether or not I had been called to the ministry, called to preach. I felt the call of God upon my heart, but I needed some way for that to be confirmed in a more solid way, and the Lord used that scripture very strongly, but I never seemed able to read it enough. And I remember distinctly one night as I was reading that passage of scripture in my red letter Bible with the yellow highlighting and the blue underlining and the smudged pages, for some odd reason, I turned and I flipped to another area of the Bible. I have to tell you, I did it in my mind just totally casually, just as casual as you would ever flip pages of your Bible, and it landed on another page, the only other page in that Bible that had a passage of Scripture written in neon letters. I mean, it's the only one I ever found. It just blinked at me when I turned to that page, and that page, that chapter, was Luke chapter 10, verse number 26. Now, I had heard stories about how people found guidance from the Lord that way. They would take their Bible and just stick two straight pins in random places and hopefully that they could put these scriptures all together and get a path of direction, until this guy one day put one scripture on a verse and it said, "Judas went out and hung himself." And he turned to the next passage and it said, "Go thou and do likewise." And that broke him of that habit. Well, I had never had that experience yet, so of course, the first one was John 20:21, "As my Father hath sent me, so send I you," and Luke 10:26, glaring out in neon flashing letters that night, said to me, "Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live." Now, I have never since recommended to anybody that they stick a pen or a toothpick or close their eyes and just turn to two random places. I'm just telling you, the Lord used it in my life. That's the odd method that He used, and it was exactly what I needed, and it really settled it in my heart and life that I had the call of God on my life. It would take me some years to be able to put that together with a call halfway around the world to Africa. I didn't know know at that time that's what that meant. But it brought me to that point of saying, yes to God, if you're sending me, I'll go, not knowing the breadth of what that meant, the depth of what that meant, but knowing from those two scriptures that I had given the right answer. And if I would follow through on that, God would lead me in the path that he wanted me to take. The other thing that was used, many of you will relate to this, I really have no struggle with the music changes in church music that I've seen over my 69 years of life, and I've been in church all my life. Music has changed so very much, and styles have changed, and speed has changed, and rhythms has changed, and the instruments have changed, and all of that has changed. But the one thing that has always been of lasting value in my particular life is the poetic lyrics of the songs. If you take the music all away, just take it away, whether it's fast or slow or loud or soothing or whatever it may be, take all of that away and just take those lyrics and look at them in the poetic nature in which they're written, and they have lasting value for not only my generation, but for other generations as well. And there was a particular song. This was a period of time in my teenage years when missions was kind of hardcore. Back in the day when this particular song I'm going to refer to was written, the early days of the 1900s, it was no kidding matter that when a man or a woman or a family answered the call of God to missions, many of them went expecting never to return home. We have our own stories and our own missions archives of our Assemblies of God missionaries that literally packed their belongings in coffins and took them to the field. We had two ladies right here in this church who traveled that way when they first went to Africa, thinking they would never come back to the United States. Transportation wasn't what it is today. Medical care wasn't what it is today. There was no VCR to look at a video from your kids, if you still remember what a video was, and there was no DVD, there was no Armed Forces radio, there was no satellite telephones or cell phones, none of that existed, so it was a little bit more of a hardcore experience to say, yes, Lord, I'll go. And so we had more hardcore, lay it out there, respond in depth types of missionary songs. And if we had a sing-along tonight or took a few moments for you to name some of those, I'll bet you we could dig up some doozies from the past. This one is not bad in itself. And I can remember hearing this song and feeling my heart break, knowing that God was using that song to impress my own heart. And over again, it provided a moment for me to be able to answer him. Here's the words of it, and you'll recognize it as I start to quote it. Hear the Lord of harvest sweetly calling. Who will go and work for me today? Who will bring to me the lost and dying? Who will point them to the narrow way? Now you just imagine being a young, spirit-filled, on-fire teenage guy trying to find the will of God and a passion for soul burning within me, and I would hear songs like this and just fall into a puddle. When the coal of fire touched the prophet, the second verse says, making him as pure can be. When the voice of God said, who will go for us? Then he answered, here I am, send me. Speak, my Lord. Speak, my Lord. Speak, and I'll be quick to answer thee. Speak, my Lord. Speak, my Lord. Speak, and I will answer, Lord, send me. The song may be dead. The thought behind it is very much alive. And we are a people who desperately need to know what it means for God to speak to our hearts. That's my topic for tonight. And my topic does not surround the question, does God speak? But rather the statement, when God speaks. I believe it's an important topic, this idea of God speaking to us. And I also would say that I think it's important in a double context for us this evening. First, The context is that we desperately need a voice of God in our day and in our lives, individually as well as a congregation. It's amazing sometimes the sources people are looking to take their guidance in life. It's amazing what young people are looking to as their source for finding guidance in life. And in response to that, we need stronger teaching and we need stronger awareness that we desperately need the voice of God in our day and in our lives as well as in the life of our congregation. And the other context is this. In our day, and especially in Pentecostal charismatic settings, there is a prolific use of terms such as, quote, God told me, or God said, or even God told me to tell you. I've gotten that one a few times in my life. While this is a huge and significant issue in our day, which sometimes, in my opinion, is so serious, it goes to the point of actually cheapening the idea of the voice of God. Yet I don't want to focus our attention tonight on this at the expense of the issue of what you and I need to do and how we should do it when God does speak into our lives. How do we weed out the false and get down to the indispensable, real, authentic voice of God? Can we be helped and instructed on how to hear and recognize the voice of God? So for the sake of tonight, let's just settle a couple of things that I think will help us understand better how to respond when God speaks. And our key verse tonight is 1 Samuel chapter 3, actually two verses. I've given it to you in the message this evening. Then God came and stood before him, Samuel, exactly as before, calling out, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, speak, I'm your servant, ready to listen. And God said to Samuel, listen carefully. So let's talk about this just a little bit this evening. First, it's evident, I suppose, we are very limited by our terminology, by our vocabulary, by the natural way that we express ourselves. Thus, we say and we talk about God speaks. But if you'll just stop and think about that in a minute, we are saying in a more general sense, we mean that God communicates to us. We might confuse the new believer or the non-believer by our terminology, God speaks to me, if they take with them the concept that that always includes an audible voice. God does not always speak through an audible voice. I happen to believe that God can speak through an audible voice, but he doesn't always speak through an audible voice. So really, I believe what we really are trying to say is that we live in a world where God is constantly communicating with us. He's constantly imparting his word, his message, his instruction, his encouragement, what we need. So we mean he is a communicating God. You see, speaking implies a voice. And I'm going to venture out and say God chooses more often than not to communicate something to us in other ways rather than an audible voice. Now, maybe you're an exception to the rule. Maybe he does you that way. But that's certainly true in my life, and in the observations that I have of all of my years in ministry is that God chooses more often than not to communicate with his people something to us in other ways than in an audible voice. He communicates with us as we read and meditate on his word. He communicates with us through someone else's His voice, such as our pastor or a visiting preacher or a teacher, sometimes even through a friend. He can and does communicate through dreams and vision. So in talking this way, I'm not diminishing the possibility of hearing God's voice. Not at all. I believe we can hear the voice of God. I'm just saying His means of communicating with us are very broad and very diverse and very numerous. And I'll assure you that those neon flashing words from Luke 10 and 26 was God's voice communicating with me on that life that enabled me to walk with the Lord through 38 years in Africa and to continue to walk with the call of God to this day. Secondly, however, I would say that I think we need to be very, very careful and keep the idea of the method of God speaking and communicating in good balance and good perspective. His method of speaking to us is far less significant than the message He desires to communicate to us. Do you get what I'm saying? The method He chooses to speak to you is far less significant than the message He is trying to communicate to your heart. Don't get so captivated by the fireworks and the sparks you attach to His methodology that you fail to pay attention to His message. It's the message that He wants to leave with us and that He wants to use to change our lives. I believe God can, and I believe God does speak in an audible, real sense. Yet in Scripture, I just have to tell you, God spoke to a precious few people in an audible voice. We know that He spoke to Adam and Eve in an audible voice. He spoke to Abraham, to Moses. He spoke to Cain. He spoke to Jacob. He spoke to Elijah. In the New Testament, one of the most phenomenal moments you'll look at is what occurred right after the baptism of Jesus, when God spoke so emphatically, so strongly, "This is my Son, whom I love, with whom I am well pleased." And when you picture Jesus in the water and the Spirit of God descending as a dove and the voice of God booming from heaven, you've got Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, all three right there giving testimony to the sonship of the Lord Jesus Christ. A powerful message, and the Lord chose a very powerful means of delivering that message in the form of an audible voice. I believe that He does that today. In fact, He again did almost exactly the same thing when He spoke to Peter, James, and John in Matthew chapter 17, verse 15, saying to them, "This is my Son, whom I love, with whom I am well pleased." And then He added something very important: "Listen to Him." Listen to Him. We're going to come back to that in just a minute. And again, the spiritual realm of our walk with God, where we abide in Christ, it is not a place of divine silence. It is a place of divine communication coming from God as He speaks to His people. I just tell you that testimonies abound about God speaking to individuals at critical times in their lives, offering them everything from direction to encouragement to correction to conviction and beyond to other things as well. It was an amazing moment. I was at Mercy Hospital a couple of weeks ago when Dr. Don Johns had just been taken in hours before with what proved to be a massive heart attack. And his wife, Kathy, was talking to me about those moments when this occurred. They were out for a usual daily walk, and part of their walk goes up a very strenuous hill in the Maranatha community. And Don couldn't make it. His chest pains were so bad. His neck was hurting. He couldn't make it up that hill. And she knew that he was in trouble and something had to be done. And she said this to me: "There was an inner voice spoke to me that I should go directly to the hospital. Don't call an ambulance. Go directly to the hospital." And when she got to St. John's, the ER doctors looked at her and said, "Had you waited for an ambulance, this man would not have survived." An inner voice. Testimonies abound about God speaking to us and speaking to individuals. Sometimes overtly, sometimes through an inner voice, and other times very literally and very audibly. My prayer tonight and my call to us is not that we necessarily have an upsurge of spectacular descriptive testimonies of hearing a divine voice. Although if God needs to do that in Central Assembly or desires to do that in Central Assembly, I say, God, bring it on and let it be. My prayer, rather, is that we hear and accept and act upon and allow our lives to be impacted by what God wishes to communicate to us, whatever the method is that he chooses to use to do so. Let's take just a minute for a real quick review of how God speaks to us. And wouldn't I be remiss tonight if I didn't say, first of all, that God speaks to us through his word. There is nothing surpasses the power and the authority of the word of God as his voice speaking into your life. The testimony I just gave you, John 20 and 21, I still to this day cannot open a Bible and turn to that passage of Scripture without knowing that that is words that God put there thousands of years ago, and yet it was used in my life today as his voice giving me direction and guidance. Nothing surpasses his word. No directive or word that you're going to receive from any other source is going to contradict the word or surpass the word or supersede the word or weaken the word or negate the word. Plant your feet solid in the word of God and open yourselves to the voice of God that it represents, and just watch the way God speaks to us through his word. Secondly, he speaks to us through the Holy Spirit. I apologize to my Sunday school class. We've been walking through the Bible following the footpaths of the Holy Spirit from creation until now. And you can't do that without recognizing the powerful ministry of the Spirit of God speaking. The Holy Spirit is a speaking spirit, and the Holy Spirit is the method that the Lord uses on many occasions to speak to our hearts. Think of the early pages of Acts. Think of the church in Antioch, and the Bible says that they were fasting and praying, and the Holy Spirit spoke to them and directed them to send forth Paul and Silas as missionaries, and that's where you can actually trace the beginnings of the worldwide missionary movement, as the Holy Spirit took voice and spoke to that church. How did that happen? Did it come to them through the spiritual counsel of an elder? Was it something similar to our tongues and interpretation? Was it a prophetic word? Was it a pastor figure sensing the leadership of God and saying, I feel this is what God wants us to? I don't know. I wasn't there. I don't know. We just have the scriptural testimony that the Spirit of God spoke and gave them direction to send forth Paul on his missionary journeys. The Holy Spirit is a speaking spirit. Thirdly, he speaks to us through others in the faith. If I were to ask you tonight, how many of you can look back across the years of your life and you can name one person, or two, or 20, or 30 godly men and women who have looked you in the eye? There may not have been a thus saith the Lord attached to it. There may not have been anything mystical about it, but you knew God used those people to speak into your lives. How many of you have had that experience? I believe probably all of us have. If we've been walking in the Lord's footsteps very long, God has brought wonderful, gracious men and women. Some of mine were the precious men and women that led me as a child in Sunday school class. And things that they told me still guide and direct my life today. Youth leaders in my life, fellow missionaries, fellow pastors, church members that I pastored, all across the spectrum of that place where we live and walk in our spiritual walk, God gives us men and women of faith whom he uses as his voice to speak into our lives. I have a very good friend, and we just Carl and I just love being together. And we've always blessed one another and been good for one another. He has now risen to the point of being a district superintendent. And we both recall a day, separate dates. One day we were just in conversation and he was telling me about his children. And some way or another, I responded to him with a thought or an encouragement or a hope or something. I cannot even recall what it was. But he was so touched by that, and there was no mystical moment between us. He didn't break down in tears, didn't say a word. We went our separate ways, and weeks later, he contacted me back and says, "God, Don, God used you in what you said 2 weeks ago to speak to my heart and give me the direction that I needed." Have you ever had an experience like that? And then in turn, on another occasion, a couple of years later, I was with Carl. I was the one sharing a need with him, and he spoke to me in exactly the same manner. There was no, "Thus saith the Lord," or "I'm hearing a word from God." None of that stuff. He just spoke to me, and I knew when he spoke, God has used you to tell me what he wanted me to know. Am I the only person that has things like this happen? I absolutely know better. I know that we all walk in that type of communication with the Lord. I have to tell you that just 2 days ago, I was sitting in my car just thinking, random thinking. And something came across my mind about the future. And I began to ask myself, what am I going to do when and if and however? And three words dropped into my heart that I can't get away from. I can't get away from them. And the longer that I have dwelt on those words, I just know that for some reason or another, the Lord chose that way to speak those words in my heart that day. And I hold them in my heart right now knowing I've got to act on those words. I've got to do something with those three words because that was God speaking to my life. He uses others of faith. He can speak through an audible voice. He can also speak through inner peace within us. He can also speak through visions. Yes, he does speak through visions. One of the incredible phenomena coming out of the Muslim world is, let me go ahead and throw dreams in there with that, through visions and dreams and through angels. Let's put all three of those out on the table. One of the most incredible testimonies coming out of the Muslim world is how many of these people are hearing voices and having dreams and having visions. And those visions and dreams and voices and angelic messengers coming in the night hours will tell them, it's time for you to walk the Jesus way. Or it's time for you to believe the Jesus story. Very emphatic and very strong. It has been an amazing thing in the world of missions to hear the volume of testimonies coming from the Muslim world that sound like what I'm telling you this evening. God does speak through visions and dreams. He does send angels to our side. I believe all of that. It's not a common everyday appearance. I think I probably believe that more often your dreams come from eating too much chili. But there are those occasions when God will use a dream to speak to us very, very emphatically. Thus, the title that I've given you tonight, When God Speaks. It's not an issue of if God speaks or does God speaks. It is an issue of you and I being prepared for when God speaks. And with all the ways God can speak to us, don't you believe we should be very concerned when we fail to sense him communicating with us? If we are walking through a season in our life when it appears that God has gone silent, if nothing else, that should lead us to call out to him, "Speak, my Lord. Speak, my Lord, and I'll be quick to answer you." Let's take apart these verses about Samuel really quickly to conclude tonight. First of all, there was a sense of invitation. Samuel was instructed by Eli. And the first instruction he gave him was the matter of invitation. Invite God to speak. Speak, Lord. Interestingly, 1 Samuel 3 indicates that the time of Samuel ministering before Eli was a time when the scripture says communications from the Lord were very rare. Well, that situation, coupled with Samuel's youthfulness, he was but a boy, and the slowing aged condition of Eli the priest, also Samuel's mentor, that kind of left the boy Samuel with no awareness of the voice of God, and he had to be taught before he could recognize and respond to the voice of God. And we should credit Eli with teaching him. Verse 7 and 8 of this chapter gives that teaching. Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy, so Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and laid down in his place. There's some important teaching in this exchange between the old priest Eli and the boy Samuel. First of all, he said, "Samuel, go back and lie down." It's interesting that he didn't tell him to go force something. He didn't tell him to go try to conjure up something. He said, "Go back to bed, Eli. Just go back to bed. And if you go to sleep, you go to sleep. At least relax yourself. And if God speaks," then he gave him more instructions. "Go and lie down. Don't force the issue. Don't make it up. Just wait for God's initiative. Go and lie down." Now, he did raise the spectrum of God communicating again. He said, "If he calls," meaning he can call you again, and then he instructed Samuel what to do should God call him again. "Show yourself open, Samuel. Show yourself attentive. Invite him. Speak, Lord." Give God an invitation to speak. I think that's important for me and you tonight, is to invite God to speak into our lives. Secondly, is a matter of identification. Samuel said, "Speak, God. Speak, Lord. I'm your servant." The role and the mission of a servant is to serve. That's basic. Frequently, that term servant is a self-deprecating term, indicating the positioning of oneself as subservient to the Lord. We say those words to intentionally place ourselves in a position of being subservient to the Lord, identifying ourselves as being one that should be listening to the Lord. "Speak, Lord, I'm your servant." And then thirdly is an expression of intention. Invitation, identification, and now intention. Samuel says, "I'm ready to listen. I'm ready to listen." Had a fun time with my grandchildren in Kansas City this weekend. And Jonas is 8 years old, and he is a master multitasker if there ever was one. I opened the garage door and saw Jonas standing about 5 feet off the floor on a fully loaded trailer that goes behind my son's car, reaching out into space, trying to reach a rope that he wanted to do something, while wearing earphones, listening to a cartoon that was playing on a computer that he was holding out here in this hand like this. And I thought, boy, I cannot multitask to that degree. But you ask him to pick up his clothes, and that's an additional task that he cannot add to all of the others. But I learned the key. I put on my grandfather's voice on one occasion, and I said, "Jonas, look me in the eye." And he looked me in the eye. Now, there wasn't anything in my eye spectacular, but I said, "Look me in the eye." In other words, I want you paying attention to me. Look me in the eye. And I talked for just a minute about Jonas's current joy of getting up in Grandpa's attic and going through the boxes of things that I have in Africa and hearing Grandpa say, "Jonas, you can take that home with you. Jonas, you can take this home with you. Jonas, I'll let you have that right now." And seeing this little 8-year-old boy's eyes just glow and get big as saucers and his head almost pop with joy, I said, "Jonas, look me in the eye. I'll never take you to my attic again if you don't do what I'm asking you to do." How many of you think I got Jonas's attention? It was a life transformation. Well, the last element of this passage of Scripture is Samuel said, I'm ready to listen. And God responded, and this is what he said. Listen carefully. Listen carefully. He instructed him, listen carefully. I would just simply say to you tonight, it's amazing how some people can be so careless and so callous or just simply casual about God speaking into their hearts and lives. Whether that's the Sunday morning message or our Bible reading or whatever it may be, we can be so careless and so casual when God is a communicating God that wants to consistently and regularly speak into our hearts. Back in the days of Daniel, Daniel was receiving all of these visions from the Lord, and God spoke to Daniel in multiple ways. On several occasions, he sent angelic messengers to speak to Daniel. And many people believe that it was the angel Gabriel. He was one of the angels that the Lord would send as a messenger. And many people think that God sent Gabriel to Daniel. Daniel chapter 10 is one of those places. And here is an exchange between Daniel and the messenger, we could say, the voice of God. How can I, your servant, talk with you, my Lord? My strength is gone, and I can hardly breathe. Again, the one who looked like a man touched me and gave me strength and said, do not be afraid. You who are highly esteemed, he said, peace, be strong now. Be strong. When he spoke to me, Daniel said, I was strengthened. And I said in response, speak, my Lord, since you have given me strength. What an awesome exchange between Daniel and the messenger, the voice of God coming to him. I have no strength to listen to you. Let me just paraphrase it for you. I don't have the strength to listen to you. I feel empty. I feel less. It's gone. I can hardly breathe. I feel so weak and insignificant. And in that moment, the man God sent touched Daniel and gave him strength and gave him encouragement and said to him, Daniel, do not be afraid. You stand in high standing with God. Do not be afraid. You are highly esteemed. The angel of God reassured him, Daniel, get up out of the floor. God holds you in high esteem to the point that he wants to speak to you. In fact, I speak to you God's peace. Be strong now. Be strong. And when the angel of God spoke to Daniel in that sense, Daniel said, I was so strengthened. And my response was, go ahead and speak, Lord. Since you've given me this strength, I'm ready to hear from you. I just wonder, Chad, come back to the piano if you will. I just wonder if there could be anyone in our midst tonight that really, some way or another, you need the voice of God. Is it, even if it is nothing more than his reassurance that he holds you in high esteem? The world is beating you to pieces. Things are going absolutely contrary to everything you have planned. I believe God may plan to send you a messenger tonight just to give you an inner voice that says, God holds you in high esteem. Do not let the world tear you apart. Your God holds you in high esteem. So much so that he wants to speak to you. He wants to commune with you as you lie in your bed. He wants to go before you when you go out, to walk behind you, to walk by the side of you, to undergird you and overshadow you every step of the way. Our speaking God comes to us with that kind of encouragement. You could be here tonight so confused and bamboozled you don't know the answer to the decision you have to make this next week. God knows, and God wants to give you that answer. All we have to do is say, speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. Close your eyes with me. Speak. speak to us, Lord. Whether now or in the night hours tonight or in the days to come, we need your voice, Lord. We're at a point of being so weak and so helpless, so tired of fighting, so tired of struggling. Oh, Lord, we just need to hear from you. Speak, Lord. I invite you, Lord, to speak into my life. Speak, Lord. I am your servant, and my place is to listen to you, to cling to every word, to hold to every promise, to depend upon every encouragement. Oh, Lord, speak, Lord. I am your servant, and I am ready to listen. And I vow to listen carefully as you direct me, O God. Speak through every sermon, O Lord. Speak through every song. Speak through every prayer time, O Lord. Speak through my friends, dear Lord. Above all, speak through your word, O God. I'll be quick to answer you, Lord. I'll be quick to say yes to you today. In Jesus' name and for your glory. Would you stand with me, please? I wonder if we'd get in trouble. I wonder if we'd get in trouble if I asked those of you that remember, "Speak, my Lord," to try to sing the first verse in the chorus. You think we could do that? Chad, we might have to start without you and let you catch up. It's in the key of X, I do know that. So. Hear the Lord of harvest sweetly calling, who will go and work for me today? Who will bring to me the lost and dying? Who will point them to the narrow way? Speak, my Lord. Speak, my Lord. Speak, and I'll be quick to answer thee. Speak, my Lord. Speak, my Lord. Speak, and I will answer. Lord, send me. I want us to sing that chorus one more time. And as close as we are to our missions convention, do not limit this song to a missions context. God wants to speak to us. And when he speaks to us about a job, about a witness, about a decision, about asking forgiveness, whatever it may be, he wants us to go with him and walk through that with him. And so let's enlarge this tonight beyond just the scope of missions, as precious as that is. And let's sing it tonight as a prayer for this week to come. Would you do that? Speak, my Lord. Speak, my Lord. Speak, and I'll be quick to answer thee. Speak, my Lord. Speak, my Lord. Speak, and I will answer. Lord, send me. So issue him an invitation to speak to you this week. Identify yourself as his servant, ready to hear from him, and then speak your intentions. I'm ready to listen. And then he will give you his instructions to which you are to listen carefully. You know what? The Lord may speak to you, and his word might simply be, "I love you, and don't you ever forget it." That's an awesome message from God. He may speak to you and say, "As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." That's an awesome honor from God. Let's be open to the voice of God this week. Can you receive that? Let's expect the Lord to walk with us and communicate with us each day of this week. God bless you. You're such a wonderful group of people. There are very few places I would rather be than right here sharing God's word with you. Thanks for coming and joining us this Sunday night.